What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Separation is in the Preparation podcast. My guest today, the Kalen Fox. Foxy, man, what's up? Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, happy to finally get the call, Wally. We were talking before, 54, 50, 53 people before me. What's up with that, dude? I was in Tucson when you first kicked this thing off.
Yeah, there's not...
maybe 20, 30.
There's not many rules that I have for the set at the Sep is in the Prep on all social media platforms if you want to follow. But I just don't do it with current teammates. But you're right, this is long overdue. So I'm happy happy to get you on at last. So to start, I guess, could you just, I know I introduced you by name, but could you just introduce yourself a little bit more to the listener? Talk a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, my name is Kalen Fox. I am 28 years old. I am a current professional soccer player. I'm in my fifth year and I have a little job on the side. I will do a little short 30-second plug-in. Beyond Pulse, we are a wearable technology company. We cover distance covered, heart rate, workload, active participation, all the goods. So if you're looking to boost your levels, Beyond Pulse, that's who you should go to. All right, I'm done. That's it. That's me.
Outstanding. I think one of the things that resonated with Foxy or about Foxy that resonated with me from spending time with him, not only were we teammates, we were actually roommates in Tucson as well, is he's dialed in all sort of facets. He's got the job on the side, he's hopping on Zoom calls, he's helped sorting out teams and their new wearable technology in preseason, and then he's also getting things organized for the boys off the field, on the field, leader on the pitch, off the pitch. So a guy who brings a lot to the table. And all of that stuff that I want to get into. But to begin, I kind of like to sort of rewind 18, 19 years to the old Foxman's first beginnings in athletics, in soccer. Kind of talk to me about sort of your earliest experiences in sports and then ultimately how you kind of gravitated towards the game of footy.
Yeah, the game of footy. I started playing when I was a whopping 4 years old. I started because of my brother, who's about 10 years older than me. So he was kicking the ball in the backyard. I would join him from time to time. I'd go to all of his games, high school games, and just got really into it that way. I did a few other sports growing up, baseball, basketball, lacrosse. I didn't touch football. I think football would have broken me. But I try to do as many sports as possible, just try to be on as many teams as possible. I think it's good when you're growing up just to meet other friends, and just have a good time with the boys. So that was me.
Absolutely. No, that element of being part of a unit, the camaraderie, I think from me as somebody who loves team sports for those reasons, that really resonates with me. And looking back at your kind of earliest experiences in sports, are there moments now that you can kind of reflect back on and be like, okay, that was a really foundational moment for me, or experiences, or maybe it was a coach or mentor or even advice that your mom or dad or older brother gave to you?
Yeah, I think looking back, I was pretty good at soccer when I was little. So my grandfather would always give me, I think it was like $5 at the time for each goal that I scored. I tended to score quite a few goals, so I managed to rack up quite a few dollars in the bank as a kid. So I think just having that extra motivation of making a little bit of money when I was younger for scoring goals and being good at the sport kind of gravitated me towards soccer. I wasn't great at tennis. I wasn't great at baseball, but soccer was something that I really enjoyed doing, at training, and then also trips with my parents on the weekends and being able to hang out with the guys and run through the hotels, playing ding dong ditch or whatever it was, and just making a fool of ourselves. So I think that's a couple of reasons that I just gravitated towards the sport of soccer.
Absolutely. And at what point in your sort of trajectory as a player did the game go from, obviously it's still something that you enjoy a ton now, right? But did it go from something, okay, this is fun, I'm hanging out with my friends, we have to travel, do great cool stuff together, but that's kind of the switch sort of flip in your head to be like, okay, this is something that I want to do at the intercollegiate level and then possibly pursue as a professional. Do you remember a certain moment, or was it kind of more of like a gradual transition?
I think it was gradual. My freshman year of high school, I barely made the freshman team. So that was kind of the first point in my life where I almost quit quit the sport. I just wasn't good enough. I hadn't grown into my body yet. I was really awkward. I was really lanky. So yeah, I almost didn't make the freshman team. But that summer after freshman year, I went out with a bag of balls in the backyard, and my best friend came over, and we would, you know, work on things that we weren't great at. And I got better my sophomore and junior year, and then really kicked off my senior year. And that's when all the offers came for, you know, Division I colleges. And I was like, okay, I might, you know, might as well go out and try it. And then after college, I did a lot of trials and didn't think I'd, you know, be a pro. I think I signed my first deal after my ninth trial. So there was definitely a few points in my career when I thought the boots were going to be hung up, but I just kept going and didn't like the answer. No. So yeah. Mm.
Yeah, no, I mean, what's great about Foxy's story is, like you just mentioned there, there's so many times where, like, to use a metaphor of like driving a car on the freeway, there's so many times where you could have just popped on that right-hand turn signal and slipped off the exit and said, you know what, it's done. But like you said, he didn't like hearing the answer no, so he kept going. And even talking about your experience almost not making the freshman team and then endeavoring, okay, this summer I'm going to get the ball backyard with my friend, identifying your weaknesses, like, that is something that there's not a lot of young players, or it's not many young players who are able to kind of go through that process. For you, where does that come from? Is that something like you learned from your brother, or is that like that just like work ethic, that kind of determinedness? Is that something that you get from a family? Like, well, who is your role model for that? Or is it something that you just were kind of built with?
Yeah, I think that comes from my best friend. He's driven like that, to where he also wasn't good at the time. So there's some things that he needed to work on too. And he just kind of dragged me along with him, and I was there for the ride. I think training by yourself is really tough after like a week or two. Mm-hmm. The whole point of soccer is team, and team means more than one. So, you know, getting your friend out, whether it's one, two, or three, and getting a group and go out and train, it's not the same as a full team locker room, but again, the smaller the groups, the more you can hone in on things that you guys aren't good at and work on. So, so me and my friend John, we just went out to the backyard, went to a nearby high school, and just worked on things that we weren't good at. And like I said, our sophomore, junior, senior year, we both rose, and he was a guy that didn't have a lot of D1 offers, just like me, for the first 3 years. And then our senior year, when we popped off, it was, you know, Division I right and left. So yeah, I owe a lot of credit to him for dragging me out to those fields and getting better with him. Mm.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. Like you said, it's tough to make that process and make that journey by yourself. So to have somebody to kind of go along with it and who's sort of in your shoes at the same time, you can kind of relate that shared experience. And I wonder for you, like, hearing you talk about so you finished your career at Kentucky, pursue a graduate degree at St. Francis, and then kind of start dipping your toe into the pro environment. And at that point, like, you kind of go from being part of many different team nucleuses, your club team, Kentucky, St. Francis, right? Part of that conglomerate, to, as a pro, you're, at least as a free agent, you're by yourself, right? And when you talk about going to different trials and stuff like that, like, you're paying your own way a lot of the time, and you're sending emails left and right and trying to scrape every little connection. So what was that? What are some big takeaways you have from, I imagine, what were some really challenging times during that period?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, going from trial to trial isn't easy. My first real pro trial was Seattle Sounders. I was there for a week for an initial trial. And then they took like the top four or five guys to preseason for a week. So after that, 2 weeks, got called in the office. Hey, listen, Fox, we love everything about you. We love you as a player. We love you as a person. But right now, it's just not the fit for us. So that's obviously really something hard, you know, to hear when you think you did really well and you thought you were going to finally sign the dotted line, go in the office, and it's a no. So go back to the apartment, right to the phone. Hey, coach, what's up? Hey, coach, what's up? Can you let me come in for a week here and there? Had to book a flight from Seattle, and I was in Charlotte, North Carolina the next day for another week-long trial. So having to switch gears from, you know, disappointment, disbelief that, you know, you didn't get your first deal, to then really switching gears, new locker room, new guys, can't be an introvert. You know, when you're on trial, you got to be as outgoing as possible. So switching gears from that from a down point to, hey, this is a new start, is super hard. And then when you look at doing that 2, 3, 4, 5 more times, it does tend to weigh on you. So, but like I said, that final moment when you finally get to sign that dotted line, everything that you did before that doesn't even matter because you're just so happy and so excited to finally get things going with your first professional contract. So the people that are listening, never give up, and you never know when that no is going to turn into a yes.
Well said. And I think that point about, and this extends, I think, beyond just professional soccer, professional sports in general. Like when you're in a new environment, it's so tempting, as you said, to just do your own thing, sit in the corner, kind of just as you're trying to get your feet under you. And I think it's not necessarily a situation where you have to be anything other than who you are, but you have to go out there and actually be who you are, right? And what that looks like for everybody else is obviously going to be different, but especially if you're Foxy, right? You're an outgoing guy who like wants to get in on the banter, wants to like get to know the group, be a great part of the locker room culture and stuff like that. And those are all strengths, right? And I think people sometimes get limited in the sense of like, okay, I'm here to just show my quality and how I can perform on the field or in the boardroom or in the classroom or whatever. But really, right, when you're trying to be part of an organization, it's so much more than that, right? Because you guys spend a ton of time together, but the slice of the pie that's actually like on the field, boots on the grass, is actually like quite small. So you have to be able to fill the role, do all those responsibilities off the field as well, which I think gets lost in the shuffle, don't you think?
Yeah, 100%. I think to add on to that, you'd be surprised at how many players have influence, not even, you know, with the coaching staff, but in the organization as well. And that's not just soccer, that's work. Like you, your colleagues around you, it's not just your boss that you're trying to impress, it's the people around you. And you know, you don't want to seem like a fake person, because it does tend to get out really quick. So
yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think when I think about Foxy, like one of his best qualities is the way that he treats people regardless of whether they can or cannot do anything for him, right? It's a consistent approach to being like friendly and welcoming, like whether it's the president of the club or anybody else in between. And that is like something that deserves to be like celebrated and applauded, because it's like one of those things that slips under the radar, but it's also really, really important. You talk about signing that first professional contract, and then your career, like, was the first deal, was that in Iceland?
Correct.
What was the process of ending up in Iceland? Because you went from going on multiple trials in the United States to now you're in a whole different place. Like, how did you find yourself there?
Yeah, after the last trial in America, it was around August time. So I graduated in December of 2018 from St. Francis. And then from January until like April of, December of 2017. So in January to April of 2018, it was just trial after trial after trial after trial. And then when nothing really came, all of the USL Championship League One preseason started. So their season was off to the races. So I decided to do USL Two, which is amateur, and just kind of stay in shape and make sure that I was fit and ready to go. So when the, you know, when the phone called about a next trial, I was, you know, already ready to go. I didn't need to, you know, train for a week and get ready. So then I went to Europe for 2 months, and not for soccer, but for pleasure, because I thought my career was done. I had an agent that worked specifically in Europe, and at that time they were looking for a player in Iceland. And I was in Germany. I remember getting a call from my agent. He was like, "Hey, Fox, it's done. I found it. Congratulations. You're a pro soccer player." I said, "Send me that email right away. Send me that contract and sign that dotted line." Printed it off, signed it, sent it back to him, and that was it. Started going to Atlanta, is where I did a lot of preseasons and got ready. That's where a lot of guys go to train. So I was training from like January to March of 2019, and I left on April to start my pro career. Haven't looked back since.
Wow. So it was kind of sight unseen. I mean, obviously you had video and stuff like that. They made the decision off of.
Yep. Correct. Wow. Correct.
And then when you get to Iceland, right, it's an amazing place. I think unique in many different ways. And one of the things I enjoyed hearing you talk about was like the culture of work and how people there just collectively, there's just such a strong work ethic and people love to work, right? And it's not uncommon for people to work many jobs. And that was something that you had to do as well, both just to fit in culturally, but also for visa and work permit situations to boot. Like, talk about kind of managing full-time professional soccer with having a job, living in a new place, like loads of challenges there.
Yeah, that was really cool. I think the reason that I'm working with Beyond Pulse and have a second job is because of what I did in Iceland. Over in Iceland, all of the clubs train in the afternoons, basically because Icelandic people love to work from, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. They're at their jobs. And after that, they'll have like an hour break to go home and eat and change and whatever. And they're at the pitch for 5:30 for training. So there's so much downtime for, you wake up at 9 and you're not doing anything until practice in the afternoon, that they give foreigners jobs to A, just to make a little bit more money, but also to get them out of the house, ingrained with the community. The town that I lived in had 2,000 people. It was in Húsavík, Iceland. So, me being me, I wanted to be out in the city, walk around. So having that job was really cool. The first summer that I was there, I worked at, it's called Gentle Giants, and it was at the local harbor. Húsavík's really known for their whale watching. So I worked for the biggest whale watching company in Húsavík. So I would sit at the dock, and basically when customers would pay at the ticketing office, they would come down and I would suit them up with their life jackets, their clothes that they had to wear, the gloves, basically get them ready to go on the boat, to then spend, two and a half hours down on the ocean watching whales, going to Puffin Island where the puffins would, roam around. So it was really cool to be able to work like 5 to 6 hours a day there. Some foreigners would come over, they speak English. So they'd be like, "Hey, why are you here?" And I'd, tell them that I play for the local soccer team. So having that job was really cool because it got me out in the community and I got to meet a lot of cool people. And then, of course, I'd spend my nights with the team and the guys training. So it was a full day and didn't have a lot of downtime, but I didn't really want it. On the weekends, after the games were over, we'd have 2 off days usually. And I would take the car and go to the waterfalls or go to another city or go to a hot bath or whatever. So the culture was really amazing. The people were just as great. And it was one of the best 2 years, of my life. So.
Yeah, what an amazing experience. I think what I hear you talking about a little bit there, just in general, is this kind of broad concept of balance, right? Like, your life cannot just be one thing, because to just do one thing all the time is unsustainable. And for you, it seems like you've struck a balance between your soccer career and your Beyond Pulse career, but also sort of many things in between. And I guess, what was that kind of process like for you, figuring out, okay, what's the right balance where I can have all these other things going on, I'm sort of limiting the amount of downtime that I have, but I'm also still continuing to practice the good methods of preparation and just my mentality of being a good pro and sort of balancing those things at the same time? Because I think, at least for me, somebody who likes to do stuff and be busy rather than idle, sometimes you fall into the trap of taking too much upon your plate and then you're like, whoa, like, I got to slow down here.
Yeah. No, I think it's all a learning process. Going to Iceland and ingraining yourself or myself in a culture where I didn't speak the language was super hard, was hard enough. So when you're adding, work, and when you're adding soccer, it can be a little bit overwhelming. So I just took it, one day at a time. I didn't start working until like 2 months into being over in Iceland. So it kind of gave me some time to relax and understand, like, where the harbor would be and where we train and, what time the coaches wanted us to be there and stuff. But yeah, to your point, I think organization is really important, knowing, where I had to be and when. So preparing for work. And then I'd usually have like an hour and a half before we started training. So I'd go back to the house, take a shower, eat something, and just kind of switch over my mind from work and fun and play to then, going to the ground and taking care of business and making sure I was ready. Because at the end of the day, like, I was in Iceland to be a professional footballer, and I didn't want to stay in the division that I was in. I wanted to go up. So making sure that I was ready, taking care of my body, warming up properly. So when I hit the grass, you know, I was ready to rumble.
Outstanding. And that's a great segue into kind of my next question. And for you, like in your own words, is, and you can answer this as specifically or as broadly as you'd like, what does it mean to prepare?
Yeah, I think basically to be ready for anything, to play out all the possible, you know, situations, and know how to beat or get around them, whether it's in sports, like, or work or everyday life, I would say. So just being ready for anything and everything at all times.
Mm. And that process of getting ready for all the eventualities, I imagine there's been a level of evolution on that for you from when you first started playing at Kentucky to Iceland to Tucson to now in Lexington. What have been some things that you do now from a preparation standpoint that you wish you would have been doing right from the beginning?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some mistakes that I made in my career for whatever reasons, whether it was sport or through work. I think learning from them and preparing, so the next time it happens, if it does, that you're ready and you make, you know, the right decision. I think no one's perfect. So don't be too hard on yourself when you look back and you make a mistake or think that you could have done something better, because, you know, everyone makes mistakes. And then I think preparing has helped me just overall to be a better person. Preparing in short means basically that you care. You know, if you're setting aside, whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes to think about what you're going to do for the next day, or to prepare for a match, or to prepare for a work meeting, like, overall, it just means that, you know, you care. So that's kind of how I've evolved or learned to prepare better, or, you know, treat people better as well.
Mm. Yeah, that care piece is really, really crucial, because I think, of course, when you really care about something and you invest in it from a preparation standpoint, from a financial standpoint, from any sort of level, right, you open yourself up to the possibility that if it doesn't go well, there's some serious disappointment and heartbreak. But for me, I've always sort of used it as that potential negative pales in comparison to the reward, the positive benefit of what you get out of stuff when you really care and you give everything you have into it. Because for me, I'd rather give it all, fail, than go sort of half rear-ended into the situation and then be always wondering, oh, I wonder what I could have or would have done. And I feel like you feel the same.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
So if you were to look now at your sort of time working at Beyond Pulse and your time working as a professional soccer player in the last sort of 3-4 years, what are things that you've taken from either soccer and applied it to Beyond Pulse, or from Beyond Pulse and applied to soccer?
Yeah, I think this started in college, right? When I was at Kentucky and you had classes, you know, in the fall, we had classes from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then we had training from 2:30 to 5:30. And then we had to go to the tutoring service or, you know, get our hours in. So having that sense of organization has carried through with me from college to, I think, now the pros. And then, you know, like you said, having Beyond Pulse and then also playing, like, staying organized is super important. And then for me, like, right now I spend my mornings with soccer. So, you know, I've got my Lexington Sporting Club hat on from like 8 to 1:30, and then I'll get home and I'll shift the Lexington Sporting hat off and put on the BP hat and go from, you know, around 2 to 6. So making sure my calendar is organized, making sure if I have meetings that, you know, I prepare for them the night before. So that way anything that comes crazy during the day, I'm prepared for, or anything like that. But I think, you know, Beyond Pulse, I'm also on the PA board for the USLPA. I know you're gonna like that, because you were trying to get me on the PA when we were at Tucson, and now I'm on the board. So that's always good. But yeah, I think I'm juggling a lot of things. So staying organized is super, super, super important for me.
Yeah, no question. It's so funny that Foxy, I needed like a secondary rep and I couldn't get anybody to do it. And Foxy was finally like, listen, man, like if you really can't find anybody, then I'll do it. And I was like, it sounds like you really don't want to do it. And now he's on the board. So I'm happy that he's involved because I know he's a great leader and he's helping push the Players Association forward. I guess hearing you talk about like that's a full day that you're living close to 5-6 days a week. And I know even for a high flyer like yourself, there's times where it's like, oof, like I really don't want to be doing this. I remember there'd be a little, sometimes Fox would come out of his room after taking a nap in Tucson and the lights were on, but nobody was home. Like he was still in the clouds, as he likes to say, still sleeping. So like in those moments where like, maybe not waking up after a nap is not a good example, but in those moments where it's like, oof, I got to do this again. Like I can't just like sit and watch TV like all my teammates are doing. I can't just like take a nap or vice versa or whatever, or even like do the opposite. Like when my coworkers are taking vacations and stuff in the wintertime, I'm kind of preparing for preseason and things like that. Is there kind of something that you hold in your mind that helps you like persevere through those moments when you really don't want to be doing what you know is important?
Yeah. I mean, on that note, sometimes I just like to take a nap to just kind of not think about it for a little bit. So
yeah.
you are right in that aspect. I don't have time to pop on the sofa and watch Curb Your Enthusiasm like you and Dakota would do it. But I don't know. I think for all like the days that you have super high, like you're going to have super low, but to just keep it as calm and as mellow as possible and just kind of stay even keeled. That's helped me a lot. I have family and friends that, you know, that I'll call and of course I'll vent to or whatever. So I think you're going to have the days where you're super low and super high, but just trying to keep it, you know, as mellow as possible. Everything's going to be A-okay. Just one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. It's great advice. I mean, I think in life, the things that we face are often neither as bad or as good as we view them on sort of first outlook. They really, in reality, they fall sort of somewhere in between, and that consistent, measured, mellow approach I think serves you better than kind of the sporadic super high than super low. And I know your consistency as a player and as a person were something that I really, really valued as a teammate during our time together. And I hope that your career lasts for as long as you want it to last, but like anything, it will come to an end. And when your career is finished, like what are the things that those who played with you, those who you played for, what are the things that you hope those people looking back remember you most for?
I think just like having a positive impact on either their life, like at the time, or like their experience as a whole is super important for me, because at the end of the day, like is a team. So of course there's time for you to spend by yourself and, you know, focus on you and things like that. But whether it's just in the locker room, making them smile, or like on the field, like having a play where they needed to get back, but they were too tired. So all, you know, like I step in and do it for them. Like, I think just the little moments and the little details matter the most. I think at the end of the day, you'll always look back and remember the emotions and like how people made you feel. And I just hope that, you know, when they're looking back, either at high school or Kentucky or St. Francis or Iceland or Tucson or Lexington or wherever I go next, like they're like, yeah, Fox, thumbs up. Great guy. What a guy. Great pal, you know? So I hope they smile when they think of me, I guess.
Yeah, I like that answer a lot. And in your career, I guess you can apply this to whichever or both. Like what are some things, I mean, you talked about your organization, you talked about your consistency. Are there other things that like you take a lot of pride in doing consistently, or things that you've done, like accomplishments, moments that you are really proud of?
I think a lot of people have helped me get to where I am today. I know I didn't do this alone. Whether it was my, you know, my parents taking me to all my games when I was growing up, my brother for helping me fall in love with this sport, for having, you know, great teammates like yourself that on bad days were there for me, or was like, hey man, like today's a bad one, no worries, like tomorrow you got this. Just things like that, I think are super important that helped me, yeah, get through it at the end of the day.
In closing, what if you were facing, if you were chatting with somebody kind of just starting their professional soccer journey, male or female, at regardless of what level it's at, what are maybe like 2 to 3 things that you'd want to share with them or from your experiences that you think would really sort of set them off on the right track?
Yeah, I would say keep an open mind is rule number one for me. Crazy things happen throughout your life that maybe you think in that moment weren't supposed to happen, but you look back and were like, wow, like that was a blessing. Quick example, I broke my collarbone 2 times my junior year of college. And at that time, you know, my sophomore year, I played really well. I started pretty much every game. Like I was in a leadership group. Like I had a pivotal role to play for my junior and senior year at Kentucky. But that all kind of ended quickly when I broke my collarbone twice, had a red shirt. So in that moment, I thought, wow, like why is this happening to me now? Like I was doing so well, this and that. I graduated early from Kentucky, had that red shirt year and used it to get my master's, my MBA at St. Francis. Graduated that in a year. And then a year later, I was playing pro soccer. I don't think if I would have ended my career at Kentucky in 4 years, I would have been ready to be a pro. Again, I wasn't mentally ready, physically ready. So having that extra year, I think gave me a little bit of a boost. And then having that gap year where, you know, I went on trials and learned a lot and then eventually went over to Iceland. So in that moment, when I broke my collarbone, I was fuming. I was disappointed. I was pissed because all that work I'd put in my first 2 years, but looking back, I wouldn't change anything. That led me to Iceland, which led me to America, which led me to my girlfriend, which led me to a lot of positive things. So just keep an open mind. And as I have tattooed on my body right here, written by my mother, everything happens for a reason.
Wow. Super powerful, man. I think that's as good a place as any to wrap things up, man. Foxy, thank you so much for sharing your story, sharing your advice. This has been super special for me, and I know it's going to be the same for the listener. So thank you, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Separation is in the Preparation podcast. If you enjoyed it, please do what you can to share it with others. As always, you can find us on Instagram at @thesepisinthePrep, or if you'd like to reach me directly, I can be found on all social media platforms under the handle @wallapps11. Thanks, and take care.